Good morning. I am a little bit excited this morning because this chapter, which we're going to review today out of Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture by Joel Goldsmith, is very, very important. In it lies the secret of life. But before we get to that, let's do a little review. This is September 13th on a Saturday. And if you recall, this particular series of talks is called Certain Chapters. And we are basing the order of these chapters on what Mr. Goldsmith did and what he said. He said, and these are his words, "I have suggested that those new to the message begin with living the infinite way, so as to gain some knowledge of the basic principles. From there, they should go to a study of practicing the presence. Once a student begins to be aware of the presence and to witness the effect of this awareness, more and more there comes an inner quiet that prepares him for a study of the art of meditation." And so, according to Joel, those are the first three books that you should start with. And you should have some awareness of the presence before you even study the art of meditation. And then he says, "When some proficiency in meditation has been attained, the student is prepared for serious study and practice, and is now ready for the art of spiritual healing, the infinite way, and I would say Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture, and any other books, in any order you prefer. However, the books, as they were written, came out of talks given by Joel over the years. And it says in one of these books, which was later published by Acropolis Books, it says, "Starting in 1954, the monthly letters were made available to students wishing to subscribe to them. Each year, the letters was published individually. During 1954 through 1959, and I have some of those in my library. It says, from 1960 through 1970, the letters were published and renamed as books with these titles. The 1960 letters was Our Spiritual Resources. 1961, The Contemplative Life. 62, Man Was Not Born to Cry. 63, Living Now." And of course, out of 63 came also all the material that later became Beyond Words and Thoughts and Living Between Two Worlds and all that. But it says here, in 1963, Living Now. In 1964, Realization of Oneness. In 65, Beyond Words and Thoughts. 66, The Mystical Eye. 67, Living Between Two Worlds. 68, The Altitude of Prayer. 69, Consciousness Is What I Am. And 70, Awakening Mystical Consciousness. It says, Joel worked closely with his editor, Lorraine Sinkler, to ensure each letter carried the continuity, integrity, and pure consciousness of the message. After Joel's transition in 1964, Emma Goldsmith, Joel's wife, requested that Lorraine continue working with the monthly letters. Okay, now Acropolis Books came along and decided to take the letters from 1971 through 1981, 10 years of them, and put them in a book form. And their books were 1971, Living by the Word, 72, Living the Illumined Life, 73, Seek You First, 74, Spiritual Discernment, The Healing Consciousness, 75, A Message for the Ages, 76, I Stand on Holy Ground, 77, The Art of Spiritual Living, 78, God Formed Us for His Glory, 79, The Journey Back to the Father's House, 80, Showing Forth the Presence of God, and finally 81, The Only Freedom. So, although there are several books here, there are several left out, too, such as A Parenthesis in Eternity, The Thunder of Silence, and other things. All right, so we have a basic understanding, a basic direction of how these books flowed out in progression from his consciousness, from Christ consciousness within him. All right, so that's what this series of talks, certain chapters, have to do with. These certain chapters are chapters that come out of these books in the order he suggested you read them and study them, and in the order that they flowed through. All right, so we looked at, so far, we have completed four chapters, four books. Now, there are many, many chapters in these books that could be reviewed. I am just picking the ones that I feel led to, so that we can get an overall flow or feeling of the flow of the message as it came through. And so we've already worked with Living the Infinite Way, Practicing the Presence, the Art of Meditation, and the Art of Spiritual Healing. This week, or this talk, should be coming from our spiritual resources. However, I do not have that book, at least I cannot locate it. So, although I have most of these others, in fact, all of these others, except maybe Living Now, and some that aren't here, I could not find our spiritual resources. But that's okay, because as I said, I felt led to review this chapter from one of the books that isn't in here, called Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture. Okay? And the chapter we're going to review is The True Sense of the Universe. Now, this chapter is very deep, very deep. And based on what we've been studying, I feel it's the correct next chapter to look at. And then we'll follow along with the books as suggested in A Message for the Ages. Okay? You follow all that? We're going to go along with the letters as they came forth and appeared as books. But we're going to insert a book or two when it feels right, such as A Thunder of Silence. And in this case, Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture. Okay? So, this talk, this chapter, is called The True Sense of the Universe. And I have, my copy is all marked up, as usual, because I've studied it and studied it and studied it at depth and meditated on it and contemplated it and experienced it. And I'll tell you, about 10 years ago, when I was really fiercely studying this chapter, in order to see if I could attain a true sense of the universe, which is the name of this chapter, I found out that Virginia Stevenson was going to give classes in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and that's not too far from where I live, so I registered and drove to the hotel and determined to have a private session with her, and attend the classes, the public classes. So, when it came time for the private session, it was before the classes started. I think it was, I don't know what it was. But anyway, I showed up at her hotel door, and I knocked on the door, and she invited me in, and we sat down. We talked for a little while, and she suggested that we could meditate, and we did just that. But when we closed our eyes, I decided I would try to be someone that tried to give something rather than get. And as I sat there with my eyes closed, meditating with her in opposite chairs, I said, "Father, pour out something. Give something." And I got silent. And in the silence, I remembered something out of this chapter about perceiving the real universe. And I rested back to let the Father reveal itself. And nothing spectacular was felt. But when we opened our eyes, Virginia said, "I think there's something for you in a certain chapter." And I said, "The chapter's The True Sense of the Universe." And she said, "That's right." And I said, "I've been studying that." Anyway, the realizations that I had had over the past few weeks, reading and studying, contemplating that chapter, were soon to flow out in a way that was almost miraculous. Because in the very next class that night, which was, I think, a Saturday night, I went to the class, and there was, I would say 75 people, maybe 100, in the audience. And Virginia was up on the platform. And I closed my eyes, and again I said, "Father, pour out a blessing." And as I sat there with my eyes closed, Virginia began to talk. And every single realization that I had had over the past couple of months studying this chapter, The True Sense of the Universe, came out of her mouth. It was like when we shared that meditation, we shared the conscious realizations that I had had out of this chapter. And so my consciousness became one with her consciousness, and I heard it flow out of her mouth. It was really quite amazing to me. So that's a little background on this chapter. But the point I want you to know and remember and take seriously is this chapter has the secret of life, and perhaps the secret you've been looking for. With all of that behind us, with almost 15 minutes used up and we haven't even got into the talk yet, this may be a long one today, but it's worth it. Now, this chapter is so important, there's hardly any words that I want to leave out. So let us just start now at the beginning. And if you haven't done it, find a place to be still, to be quiet, and ask the Father to reveal the truth to you. All right. Now listen. The true sense of the universe. The beliefs we entertain about the body constitute our sense of body. The truth about body is something entirely different from our concept or sense of it. The body itself is perfect. It is as immortal and eternal as soul, or God, which is the substance and principle of the body. All right, so it starts right off telling you you're entertaining a false sense of body. But there is a way to entertain a true sense of body. Your body, he says, seen through the universal material beliefs of the world, was born, matures, ages, and dies. Now, if you haven't done it lately, you might look down at your body and see, is this what he's talking about? Is this the body he's talking about? The body that was born and matures and ages and dies? And yes, it is. This is the sense of body called a material body. But, he says, this very body, when correctly known or correctly sensed, that is spiritually discerned, is the very appearing of soul substance, spirit substance, eternal being. Okay, so what do we have so far? So far, he's just jumped right in here and gone very deep. He's saying you entertain this false sense of body, or self, or universe, but when you have spiritually discerned, then you entertain the real sense of body, which is eternal and immortal. Real sense of self, real sense of universe. So he says, this very body, when correctly known, spiritually discerned, is the very appearing of soul, spirit, eternal being. It is neither functional nor organic. What appears to us as functions and organs are our false, finite concepts of the activity of capital M mind appearing as spiritual body or spiritual formation. Now, in the early days, in 47, 48, 49, and in these books, Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture and The Infinite Way, Joel said he would like to have changed that word mind to consciousness. And I automatically do that when I'm reading it, because we do not want a mental, intellectual understanding, and we do not want to believe that mind, that intellectual mind formed, is the answer. It's not. It's consciousness. So let's read it that way. What appears to us as functions and organs are our false, finite concepts of the activity of consciousness appearing as spiritual body or spiritual formation. And so you're seeing through a glass darkly. You're seeing through concepts in the mind. What you're looking at is consciousness formed, spirit formed, but you're seeing it through material concepts. So he says, as long as we entertain a material concept of body, we will have concern for it. We will cater to it and find both pain and pleasure in it. As we continue to lift our concept of body until we gain the realization of what our body really is, we will find less and less of pain or pleasure in it. Until, you ready? Until we arrive at the state of consciousness where we realize the body is an impersonal vehicle. Now, we've been over this before. Where is the person? If impersonal Christ is manifesting, but you're seeing it as impersonal concepts, where's the person? There isn't any. That's the concept. He tells you here, this is consciousness appearing. And the body is an impersonal vehicle. So he says, only as we understand that errors of sense exist merely as suggestion and false sense can we find freedom from pains and pleasures of the body. Now, this is underlined in my book. We are never correcting the body, its so-called organs or functions. We are correcting the false concept or sense of body. What does that mean? That means when you practice spiritual healing, you are not trying to heal a body. You're not trying to patch up or fix a material body, because that's a concept. And you cannot add God to a concept. So this belief that you are healing or fixing or patching up a material body is, it has to go. It has to go. That's not our work. What is our work? Let's flip over here to the Infinite Way book, to the chapter called Putting on Immortality. Here he says, let us, you and I, then, begin with the understanding that our world is not an erroneous one. See? That's where the problems come in. We look out and we say, well, this is an illusion out here. And no illusion is ever externalized. So our work is not in getting rid of this illusion out here. Our work is what he says here. Let us, then, begin with the understanding that our world is not an erroneous one, but rather that the universe in which we live is the realm of reality, or spirit, about which man entertains a false concept. You see, we have a sense of material body in the mind, and we're looking through that at a spiritual universe. So he says, the work of bringing health and harmony into our experience is not then getting rid of or even changing a mortal material universe. The work is in correcting the finite concept of our existence. And so there's some sort of work that takes place within us. And when that work takes place correctly, the finite concept that we entertain about a spiritual universe is corrected or dissolved. So it's an inside job, an inside work. Okay, so again, getting back to the true sense of the universe, we're never correcting the body, its so-called organs or functions. We are correcting the false concept or sense of body. You see, we are entertaining a sense of body that's material. It is born, it ages, it matures, and it dies. That sense has to be seen through with spiritual discernment so that we can see a spiritual body right here, right now. And he says, all we have said about body is equally true about business, home, security, wealth. My kingdom is not of this world. There is nothing of God or reality in the world we see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. All right, so the world or the body or the universe that you see, hear, taste, touch, or smell is a series of universal beliefs making up the concept called this world, this body, this person. That concept must be seen through. But you can't do it with your mind. Intellectual agreement with this is not enough. He says, be assured that if God were in this scene, there would be no wars, accidents, diseases, or deaths. God, he says, the infinite power of good is able to maintain harmoniously and eternally its own creation. In my kingdom, the realm of spirit and truth, there are no errors, no decompositions, or defeats. Again, we jump over to the Infinite Way in the chapter The New Horizon, and he says this. He says, above the sense life, there is a universe of spirit governed by love, peopled with children of God, living in the household or temple of truth. This world is real and permanent. Its substance is eternal consciousness. Okay, in it there is no awareness of discords or even temporary material good. Okay, so we're looking at the true sense of the universe, and he's saying, in my kingdom, the realm of spirit, which is above the sense life, there are no errors, no decompositions, or defeats. Therefore, he says, prayers uttered for the purpose of healing, improving, or aiding the people or conditions of the physical universe reach no farther than one's own belief. Likewise, metaphysical treatment, if it seeks to change the human scene, can only bring forth the fruitage of the confidence placed in the treatment or faith in the one treating. So there you have it right there. If you're hoping to practice spiritual principles or meditate or affirm or deny, and all of that is in the mental realm, if you're hoping that by the letter of truth you will be able to heal and change and fix and patch up this material sense of universe or material sense of body, then of course you're looking in the wrong place. You're praying amiss. It's not going to work. Well, then what are we supposed to do? Well, he's going to tell you. God is the divine reality of individual being. To avail oneself of the harmonious government of this principle, that's a principle, God's the reality of individual being. To avail oneself of the harmonious government of this principle, it's necessary to drop all thought of human persons, human conditions, lose all desire to improve humanhood. Let the inner self reveal in silence the harmony, the wholeness, and the joy of real being. And so there he is telling you, you've got to come to a place where you drop all thought of human persons, human conditions, of healing human persons, healing human conditions. You have to lose all desire. That's all your little secret desire that you're keeping even from yourself to improve humanhood. You've got to drop all that. Remember last week we were talking about, and we were reading in The Art of Spiritual Healing, you have to reach a place where you come to see that the material sense of body, of condition, of universe is nothingness. You have to come to a place where you don't desire to fix it or improve it. When you come to the place where you really see that it's nothingness, you'll let go. And then, he says, you can become aware of the descent of spirit, of the stone cut out of the mountain without hands. We have to reach that place where we are able to let all of this go. We are able to recognize it's nothingness. And then, because we see it's nothingness, we're able to stand still and let the spirit reveal itself. The stone is cut out of the mountain without hands when your hands are not trying to help, when you're not trying to know something with the mind, when you're not trying to fight something spiritually or fix or patch up or improve humanhood, when you really see its nothingness, remember, he said, then you're able to let the spirit descend and take over and reveal itself and reveal the spiritual body, the spiritual universe. So, as he said in The Infinite Way, our work is seeing through the concepts, letting them go, correcting the concepts, seeing through them to the spirit. And that's what he's saying here in the true sense of the universe. Drop all thought of human persons and conditions. Lose all desire to improve humanhood. Let the inner self reveal in silence. And silence is not being perfectly quiet. Silence is a place of non-power. You're not trying to do anything or know anything or be anything. Let the inner self reveal in silence the harmony, wholeness, and joy of real being. Spiritual good is not composed of more or better material conditions. No amount of increased physical health or wealth can testify to the reign of spirit. No, we rise above sense evidence to find the realm of the real, or to find the realm of spirit. Remember, above the sense life is a realm of spirit, governed by love, peopled with children of God. So what are we doing? What is he suggesting that we do? He's suggesting we rise above the sense evidence, above this material sense of body, which is born, ages, matures, and dies, rise above that and see the spiritual body, which is eternal and immortal, right here, right now. Or if you prefer, rest back out of this material sense of universe and through spiritual discernment, discern the spiritual universe, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So our work is not fixing something out here. It's not even seeing through something out here. Because the only thing out here is the same thing in here, a spiritual universe. But we're seeing it through a conceptual universe. And so the work is an inner work. Dropping, seeing through, dissolving, correcting the material concepts, universal beliefs. And through spiritual discernment, letting the spirit itself reveal itself. So he says, soul power, that which we contact within ourselves, results in what appears to be health, harmony, and wealth. But these are not the same as that which is attained through attempts to improve the human. Yes, this is that place in the spiritual journey where you have to stand up and sit down at the same time, Don said to me. And this is what it means. It means you look at a situation, good or bad, according to concepts, and you recognize, I'm going to have to see through that. And so you have your little meditation or contemplation, whatever allows you, whatever terms come to you that allows you to see the nothingness, the impersonal nothingness of these concepts, and rest back out of them. And then spirit reveals itself. And the funny thing is, if it was bad, now it appears to be good. But we're not fooled, because he says, the harmony in our affairs which results from our contact with our inner self, or soul, or spirit, is the manifestation or expression of spirit, and is the added things which come naturally from the realm of real substance or from the realm of spirit. Finite sense beholds these added things or spiritual reality as objectified material sense or things and persons. Spiritual harmony is not attained by seeking persons, things, or conditions, but by taking no thought for these, seeking only contact with the divine reality of you. Isn't it strange? You must come to the place where you no longer seek healing of any sort, and then when you reach that place in silence, and you touch that inner consciousness and it reveals itself, it appears to flow forth as healing. But now we know it's not really healing. We're just seeing more of reality. This concept, this veil is lowering, and we're seeing more of reality. You see the difference? Humans cannot put on or wear the robe of Christhood. The human mind cannot be spiritualized. It must be put off. When the Christ appears as individual spiritual consciousness, it dispels mortal or material sense. The human is never spiritually clothed upon. But as spiritual consciousness appears, human sense is dissolved. The effort through mental means to become spiritual is wasted effort. Okay, so applying the letter to trying to make your human life spiritual and wonderful and harmonious is wasted effort. The attempt to understand spiritual things with the five senses or the intellect is useless. Again, this is for advanced students. We are not any longer trying to understand these truths. Someone the other day wanted to have a discussion with me, and I said to them, I am not interested anymore in discussions. No, I want to go back within my being, drop the conceptual universe, drop the material sense of person, body, universe, and see through spiritual discernment, through another faculty than mind. I want to see through a spiritual faculty, the spiritual sense of individual being, the spiritual sense of spiritual Christ body, the spiritual sense of my kingdom universe. And I want to be in that spiritual consciousness as often as I can, and that's all I care about. So he says here, the attempt to understand spiritual things with the senses or the mind is useless. Developing a sense of receptivity, learning to silence the senses, gaining the ability to listen for the still small voice, this is the way. Human thought, even good ones, will not help. So, he says, in treatment, to close the eyes and declare truths and make affirmations, make denials, this is not the way of spirit or Christ. Be silent. Hold a listening attitude. Be receptive. Be still. Let the presence and power of God be made manifest through silence. This is the way. Right now, the true sense of the universe, the name of this chapter, and the secret of secrets, he has not even given it to us yet. We're about halfway through, and he hasn't even given us the secret yet. And yet, he's going to give it to us three times, so we cannot miss it. And if this talk today runs over a little, that's just the way that it is. It needs to be said. Okay, now, This would be an excellent place to close your eyes and take a little break and stop and go within and listen. And maybe take a break and go off and run some chores if you need to. And then come back and listen to the second half of this talk. Now, for those of us that wish to continue, let's do so now. The Christ way is a silent state of receptivity in which the Christ or Spirit of God is manifest as our individual consciousness. It appears principally as a feeling of the presence and dispels the illusion of sense for oneself or another. You see, he does not say here that the Spirit of God touches you and heals you. He says you have a feeling of the presence of the Christ. It becomes one with your individual consciousness. And then it dissolves those concepts, that material sense of universe or self in the mind, and it reveals spirit, which is omnipresent. And then that appears as healing, but it's not healing. It's more revealing of the reality that is omnipresent. So he says, as we are touched by the Christ, as our consciousness becomes more and more the Christ itself, the receptive consciousness of those asking for help from us likewise feel this spiritual influence and respond to it. The Christ does not come down from its high estate to serve or cater to mortals. No. There is no place where the human and the spiritual blend. Quite a statement there. I hear a lot of people hoping that Christ will send them supply, that Christ will send them a companion, that Christ will send them health in some way or another. Yet here it is. There is no place where the human and the spiritual blend. If you're hoping to add Christhood to humanhood, it's not going to happen, my friends. Humanhood must be dissolved. You have to die and be born again to this new consciousness manifesting, or spirit revealing itself. You have to die out of a material sense of universe and come into a conscious awareness of spiritual universe. So you're going to step out of material concepts and into spiritual discernment. You see, the work is an inner work. So he says, stay where you spiritually are, high in consciousness. Now he says, once you touch or are touched by this, whatever you call it, you can call it Christ, it, Tao, spirit, once you're touched by it, then stand and let those attracted receive its benediction. Do not attempt to carry it to humanity. No, you do not direct it anywhere. You simply stand. Okay, so with that as a foundation, now he's going to give you the great secret of the universe. Are you ready? He's going to tell it to you three times. He feels it is that important. And here we go. I want you all to understand the great secret of the universe. Had the ancients known it, our modern living would be as in a paradise. If we learn it in this age, we can help to usher in the new millennium. The few who have known this secret in past ages could not teach it. No, it can't be taught. It's an experience that takes place in your inner temple. So he says, it would appear that only a very few had the spiritual capacity to grasp its meaning. Some few understood it intellectually, but rarely was it understood in its spiritual significance. I am not a dreamer of idle dreams, he says, but I have a vision of eternal life. I would not have you sitting on a cloud or anchored with your feet on the ground. My idea and my ideal is that you be rooted and grounded in truth, yes, that you have an understanding of the letter, and that you be fed with spiritual meat, that you drink waters from the wellsprings of eternal spirit and soul. And so his idea and ideal is twofold, that you have a letter of truth, you understand, which is what we've done today. We've described the letter of truth. But that you go within and have this inner spiritual discernment of the true universe, that you have the spirit of truth. Now, he says, the secret of the universe, that which has been so rarely understood, is that spiritual meat and drink. And the secret is this. Are you ready? Listen with spiritual ears. The life which you behold in man, tree, or animal is not the life which is God. Human, animal, or plant life is not a manifestation of God. And therefore, it's not immortal, eternal, or spiritual. The life of material man or material flower is mortal sense objectified. It is a false sense of the life which is real. Okay? If you can see it, hear it, these are my words. If you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or feel it, or smell it, it is a material sense, or a series of material concepts, or concepts of a material universe. And it is in the mind only. The mind entertaining world thought, or thoughts of this world. That mortal sense, material sense of universe, of man, of body, that which you behold through the senses or through the mind must be seen through. For now we see through a glass darkly, but later face to face. In order to see face to face, to look upon the spiritual universe, to look upon God, you must come to the place where all that we just described to you is nothingness. And you have no desire, no secret desire to heal it, to patch it up, to reform it, to improve it, or to make it spiritual. He says, The understanding of this truth will enable you to look away from the objects of sense. It will enable you to refrain from attempting to heal, correct, or reform the mortal sense of existence. And as soon as you have conquered the desire to heal or improve the material sense of existence, then the spiritual or real begins to unfold and reveal itself to you. You cannot behold or experience eternal life and its harmonies and beauties while you accept the evidence of the senses as if it were God's creation. Please, he says, do not take lightly what I am saying. This is the great revelation. All right, so he says here, you have to conquer the desire to heal or improve the material sense of existence. And as soon as you do that, the spiritual or real begins to unfold and reveal itself to you. In other words, in spiritual, the art of spiritual healing, he says, as soon as you come to see its nothingness, you're able to relax and be a beholder and stand aside as the stone is cut out of the mountain without hands, or as the spirit descends in your consciousness. Those are different words for the same experience. Do you not see that? And then, in the New Horizon, in the Infinite Way, he puts it like this. The first glimpse of reality of the soul realm or the spiritual universe comes with the recognition and realization of the fact that all temporal conditions and experiences are products of self-hypnotism. With the realization that the entire human scene, its good as well as its evil, is illusion, comes the first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation and of the sons of God who inhabit the spiritual kingdom. The experience at first, he says, is like watching the world disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. And now there is no attachment to the world, no desire to hold on to it, probably because to a great extent the experience does not come until a great measure of a desire for the things of this world has been overcome. You see? That's exactly the same as saying here in the true sense of the universe, as soon as you have conquered the desire to heal or improve the material sense of existence, the spiritual or real begins to unfold and reveal itself to you. Or, as soon as in the art of spiritual healing, as soon as you come to see the nothingness and you stop working on a him or a her or a condition, then you're able to be still and the spirit will descend. This is all the same experience. It's an inner spiritual experience. It's the experience that Joel's been telling us all these years, the capital E experience that you must have. It's the same experience you have if you practice the words in the Kailua study series, which says, there's no answer to this. I'm not working on a material form or universe or condition, and stand stock still. He says, remember, he says, you may have to grit your teeth, but don't reach out for a spiritual truth or an affirmation or a denial. We're going to have not a mental understanding of the principle anymore. We're going to be so still and stand so still that the spirit itself will make itself known, will have an inner spiritual experience. I think this is becoming clear to all of you now. So, He says, "Do not take lightly what I am saying. This is the great revelation. This knowledge will clarify for you the Master's statement, 'My kingdom is not of this world.' It will reveal to you the secret of John, who beheld the universe, which is not made with hands, but which is eternal, as consciousness appearing, spirit unfolding, soul revealing itself." You see that? You see it, don't you? I can feel it, and I know, and I can feel you, and I know you're seeing it and feeling it. You are knowing now, consciously, what you must do. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And the attempt to bring spirit into operation in this finite sense of existence constitutes the warfare between the flesh and the spirit. And again, we go over here to the Infinite Way in the chapter Our Real Existence, where he says, there is a constant warfare between the flesh and the spirit, and this will continue as long as we entertain any degree of corporeal sense. That means any degree of a material sense of existence. The attempt to bring spirit and its laws to bear upon material concepts constitutes this war, and peace can only come when the structural sense of the universe and the corporeal sense of man has been overcome. I love this up above here. He says, "Be a beholder, a witness. Watch the unveiling of the Christ in your consciousness." Yes, the unveiling of the Christ in your consciousness can come when the warfare between the spirit and the flesh ceases. And when will that cease? It will cease when you catch what he calls in this chapter, The True Sense of the Universe, what he calls the secret of secrets. He's going to repeat it two more times so you can get it. But again, he says, "Do not take lightly what I'm saying. This is the great revelation. My kingdom is not of this world." See? You too, like John, will be able to behold the universe not made with hands, or the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, or the spiritual universe, or the spiritual realm in which dwells the perfect spiritual body of Christ. You will be able to behold that when the warfare is overcome, when you lose your desire to try to change or fix or heal this material sense of person. When you lose that, when you see that material sense of person entertained in the mind is nothingness, and you stop, you just stop and behold, then spirit reveals the spiritual man, the spiritual body, the spiritual universe, or the universe not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So he says, one more time, here's the secret again. The life of material man, the life of the tree, the flower, the animal, this is not life eternal. It is not the manifestation of the life which is God. It's a false, finite, mortal sense of life. Do not attempt to patch up this sense of life. Turn away from it. And with your enlightened consciousness, now discern the life which is God. Feel through your spiritual sense the divine energy of spirit. Become conscious in the silence of your soul. Let the divine harmonies appear as you disregard the evidence of sight and hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling. Believe me, he says, believe me, this is the secret of secrets. This is life eternal, to know this truth. kings and emperors would give their thrones could they but learn this truth. Just think, he says, just think. There's no value, no reality, no use of struggling for that which is seen and felt, because that is but the unreal concept of the spiritual universe. So now you think of the freedom fighters trying to obtain this and that, and you think of the superpowers trying to obtain this and that, and you think of the all the people, regular everyday people, struggling to make this and that, and save up and hoard this and that, and oh my God, what are they doing? They're dealing with, well, what does he say here? He says, there's no value, no reality, no use struggling for that which is seen and felt, because it's an unreal concept. So they're fighting and struggling and warring for what? For concepts. All around them, standing in a spiritual universe and never aware of it. As are we. As are we. In the beginning, we practiced spiritual principles hoping to improve our humanhood. After a while, it no longer works or doesn't work like it once did. And the warfare between the flesh and the spirit begins. And that warfare can go on for years and years until hopefully you stumble into a talk like this, or spirit itself reveals it to you, or you find it in the books and in your meditations, as I have. And it becomes aware, it becomes apparent that the way to end this warfare is to stop trying to improve a concept. And to stop believing that a concept is out here. You remember when Joel said in the chapter about body, I think it's chapter 8 in the Kalua study series about the body, when he says that he was studying about the life of Buddha, and suddenly he became aware that Buddha said, I must find a way to remove sin and death and lack and limitation from the world. And suddenly he said, and he clicked his fingers, suddenly it became apparent to him, he had the inner realization, ah, that's the secret. The secret is to see that there is no lack and limitation in material form and structural universe. There is none out here. Those material concepts which we've entertained for centuries. Now we must see through, let go, rise above, rest out of these concepts, stand stock still, and like the coming of dawn, let spirit reveal the spiritual universe, the spiritual man, the spiritual body, the spiritual being. You see? So, that was twice now on the Secret of Secrets, and he's going to give it to you a third time. That which is real and eternal is not seen or touched. It is spiritually discerned. It is cognized only by the intuitive or inner consciousness. Reality is perceived by the soul senses, the inner vision. Only to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear can this vision become a living, vital presence. Only those who have heard what is said by the still small voice and seeing what is visible to the windows of the soul can discern the temple not made with hands, or the universe of God's creating. All right? So here it comes a third time. This inner vision, this spiritual consciousness, this soul sense comes only in proportion as we accept and realize the great secret. The life of material man plant or animal is not the eternal life God. It is the finite sense, the manifestation of mortal material sense. This false sense of life must be put off, disregarded, unvalued, in order that the real life and its formations may become evident and experienced. Yes, it's experienced first in meditation, and then with eyes open, as your immortal being. So, we can see in this chapter, the true sense of the universe in the spiritual interpretation of Scripture, combined with the Infinite Way, the original Infinite Way book, that he was telling us way back. For those who had eyes to see and ears to hear, those who were approaching the spiritual universe, he was telling us and has always told us throughout all the works, although using different words, that the material sense of universe, the structural universe, is not real. It's a concept about the real. The real is the invisible spiritual universe right here. But that invisible spiritual universe is not invisible when you see, not through concepts, but see with spiritual discernment. Then the invisible becomes visible to you. And so our work is an inner work. It's a work of dissolving, seeing through, overcoming, resting out of the material sense of universe, body, person. And standing so still in our meditation that we have the inner experience of seeing, perceiving, discerning the spiritual man, the spiritual body, spiritual being, spiritual individuality, spiritual universe. We rise above the senses, he says, into the spiritual realm. In our meditation, and when we open our eyes, more of the spirit appears. It looks like a healing, but it's not. Nothing's been healed. We have seen through concepts to the spiritual underlying real, and now it is coming forward and revealing itself. You see? Do you have eyes to see? I hope you do. Oh, I so hope you do. The more of us on Earth at this time that can see we're not on Earth, but we're living in a spiritual kingdom, well, 10 righteous men can save a city. Perhaps if we could have 100 scattered around the planet, we could save the world, which seems bent on destruction, if you look at the material sense of world. How about we come up higher? How about we pray the real prayer of forgiveness, which is seeing through a material sense of universe with our spiritual faculty, spiritual discernment, beholding the universe not made with hands, which needs no forgiving. It's already in the image and likeness of the Father. How about we engage in that for our world work? And let us see. Let us see the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us see it together as one. Okay, I thank you so much for downloading, listening to this talk, but I thank you even more for putting the principles into practice. You all are the vanguard. You're helping prepare for the transition where Christ consciousness dissolves the material sense of universe and reveals the finished kingdom here and now, so that those to come after us will be born into this conscious awareness. Isn't it wonderful? You are doing this through your work. I only can say thank you. I love you. Amen.